A Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. Well, what can we expect in the markets today? To help us make sense of what's happening in the headlines, we have with us Shane Oliver, Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm great. Well, let's look at what's happening in the headlines. So many things for investors to look at. Let's start with what's happening close to home. We have the Trump-Kim summit happening in Vietnam. Is there happening for a second day? And it looks like there's a lot of optimism being built into these talks right now. What's your take on what's happening there, Shane?
I think Donald Trump wants it to go well because it feeds into his plans to get re-elected next year, and like just like he wants the trade negotiations with China to go well. And I suspect the talks today in Vietnam probably will go reasonably well. I think both sides will probably announce that they've further progressed towards resolving their differences, particularly in the nuclear area. Is that going to have a big impact on share markets? Probably not. I think it would only have a big impact on share markets, investment markets in the region, if it went badly. In other words, there would be a setback and we'd go back to the tensions we saw building through 2017. But as long as they can come out with a communique that says they've made more progress, then I think financial markets will be reasonably happy.
All right. The other thing that's happening in the U.S. is Michael Cohen. He's making his testimony and he's calling Trump a racist, a con man, and a cheat. How much do you think this is going to be affecting the markets?
Not a lot. It probably had a little bit of a dampening effect on the U.S. share markets in the overnight session. The U.S. share market was down a little bit more through the course of the night, through the course of our night. It managed to end pretty flat. So it looks like it may have been a dampening factor, along with trade representatives Lighthizer's comments that they still had a fair way to go to resolve their trade differences. But at the end of the day, these sorts of comments around Trump have been around for a while. They're probably pretty shocking to people who are outside the US, and we kind of wonder, well, what happened in the first place? How did he get voted in? But that was the reality. That's what happened. He got voted in. I don't think there was enough in Cohen's comments to really work against Donald Trump in a substantive sense. His base would say, oh, he's just a jilted lover. You'd expect him to say stuff like that. Democrats and others would say, yeah, it proves what we thought all along. But I don't think it will change the equation in the US. What really is needed to change the equation would be if something came along suggesting clear evidence of wrongdoing on Donald Trump's part that was impeachable and could then result in a two-thirds majority in the Senate to remove him from the presidency. But as things stand at present, that hurdle doesn't seem to be likely to be met.
Nothing substantial yet coming out from the Michael Cohen front. We are speaking to Shane Oliver, Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. So Shane, looks like investors are looking at the more, I guess, tangible stuff, the more substantial stuff, and that includes what's happening with Jerome Powell. He's been in Congress giving his testimony over the past 2 days. Well, what do you take away from his message over the past 2 days? Some people are saying he's been quite boring and consistent.
He has been. Occasionally he's not boring and then gets the markets upset. That's what we saw back in late December last year. But ever since then, he has been more consistent. And the line has basically been that, yes, we've heard about the turmoil in share markets. We are concerned that there are headwinds to U.S. economic growth going forward. We think things are currently good in the US, but given those potential headwinds, given those uncertainties, we're going to leave monetary policy on hold. And by the way, we can do that because inflation is around our target. So that all makes sense to me. And I think he's been repeating that message that the Fed is sitting patiently, but going forward, it will be flexible and do whatever's necessary to keep the expansion going.
Okay. And one other thing, Shane, that we're looking out for is the numbers coming out from the US tonight. We have fourth quarter GDP numbers. What are we expecting? It looks like we might not be on target for Trump's 3% target.
No, and we may be well below that. Of course, these numbers were delayed. They should have been released a month ago, or the preliminary version should have come out a month ago, but the US politicians decided the US government should have a shutdown. So that shutdown, which went for 5 weeks, meant that they couldn't collect the data and couldn't process it. So it's now coming out a long time after many other countries have already released their data. This will probably show that the US economy has slowed down. We got some more trade numbers out overnight. They were showing a worse trade deficit in the US, which of course augurs badly for growth. because it means their exports are running lower. So it looks like the GDP numbers we think will probably be around 2% annualised, which is a fairly soft outcome, well down from the 3% we've seen in the last couple of quarters. And the bad news, I guess, is that US growth is likely to remain similarly soft in the current quarter, partly because of bad weather. Good news, though, is I think growth in America will pick up sometime as we go into the second quarter of the year. So I wouldn't see the weakness we're probably going to see tonight in terms of December quarter GDP as a sign of things to come. I think it's a temporary slowdown in the US, and growth will pick up again as the year proceeds.
And Shane, with all this in the background and we have the US earnings season not being super in terms of its outlook for the rest of the year, what are you telling your investors and your clients to do with their allocation?
I think you could still have a bias towards growth assets, towards shares. You know, share markets have had a good rally from the end of last year, from Christmas Eve, and I think it was. So it was the low point for the US share market, another market somewhere around that in December. So we've had a good rally. Markets have probably got a bit overbought here and due for a bit of a pullback, which I think we will see. So therefore, if you have a bit of firepower, money sitting in cash, you could perhaps wait a little bit because I think markets will pull back. But I would use that pullback as an opportunity to increase allocation towards shares, both in the Asian region, which are looking quite good now that the Chinese economy is starting to see stimulus flow through. And then I think as we go through the year, we'll see reasonable returns out of equity markets. But very short term, we could see a pullback, but we'd use that as an opportunity to allocate some money into markets.
All right, look out for the pullback to, well, buy on the dips. Well, thank you so much, Shane. Have a great day ahead.
Thank you.
All right, we've been speaking with Shane Oliver, Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital on The Bigger Picture.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.